Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Are you ready to move forward in God's word? And it is a, what, say it with me. It's a great word. I am grateful that God has awakened me this morning because your host, as they say, was calling off today. I was sleeping very, very well. And you're like, this woman talks so funny. That's because joy life. Life is too short to be worried about what he said, she said, or they said. Trust God. The word that God gave me for this morning is God grants the desire of our hearts to discern good and evil. We got to ask God for the discernment between good and evil. Because in these last days, many, many who will try to make good son to the movie to see Fast and the Furious, the new Fast and the Furious. And I didn't know why God was giving me this title until it hit me that the villain in the movie was Jason Momoa, who is in the DC universe, as they call it, and very good looking. He's stylish and he was funny and, you know, he was one of those villains that, you know, looking on the surface, you say, well, the reason he wants to get Dom is because Dom killed his father, not understanding that he and his father are evil to the core. But Sermon, he is, well, they deserved it for his retribution because he was trying to get and to kill the main character, Dom's son. Now understand that this little boy had no biological mom. But now you want to murder this child because of your evil, crooked father. Goes through a lot of twists and turns. But the one thing about Dom and all the people that followed him was love. They loved each other. Believed that family was the most important thing to them, that they would do anything to protect family. And because the main criminal, the evil one is what I'm going to call it, understood that family was everything to Dom. So he went after his family. And so we have to pray for discernment to see the evil in things. The enemy can disguise evil to look real good, put it in a good-looking package. You know, think about Eve being deceived. Put it in a good-looking package. And with a great smile, and just fun to be around, but evil to the core. Ask God for discernment. Everything that looks good is not good for you. consult for your heart. Give me discernment to see good and to see evil. Because we are in the last days. And understand the Antichrist is not coming with a red face and horns and a pitchfork. He's going to come and he's going to look real good. Handsome, suave. Lots and lots of money. And folks are going to fall for the okey-doke because they're going to see the outside and not the evil core inside. Ask God for discernment and wisdom. In the name of Jesus, Father God, we come to you, thanking you for another day. Thanking you, Lord God, for your grace, for your mercy, for your love, for your kindness, for your goodness, and for your mercy. Father God, I ask you to give us discernment and strength. Give us wisdom, Lord God, that we will walk in the walk that you have given us to walk, Lord God. We thank you. We praise you. We give you honor and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, Lord God, again, thank you. For this is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing and glad in it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody. I'd like to present to some. My mother is in the house.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm blessed and highly favored.
Praise the Lord. Mother Valerie and I had the privilege of attending revival yesterday. And it was, all I know is it was good. It was an experience is what I guess I want to say. Because we know that this revival changed the course of our community in 1909. They call it six weeks that changed a community. You know, we only had one day, but God is going to give us time to revive again because I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, and I know that it left the Ball Civic Center and spread, and it's going to continue spreading all through this community. And we know what God can and will do. We just got to keep believing, keep trusting, and know that God is able. So we're going to, we missed out on yesterday, 1 Kings chapter 3 through 4. I'm going to read chapter 3 through 4, and then I'm going to turn it over to Mother Valerie to read 5 and 6 and 6. And if time permits, we will go into our psalm and our proverb. So let's go to work. Hallelujah. Mother Valerie, who do we work for?
We work for Jesus. We work for God. We work for the great I Am, Abba, Father.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, that all things are going to work for good because we are going to ask you for discernment to see good and evil. I know that it caused the fall of Adam and Eve, but now, Lord God, in the day that we live in, we need understanding. We need to be able to see it and to understand it. So, Lord, give us wisdom. Grant us wisdom to discern good and evil. In Jesus' name. And as we go to our word, it says, Now Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married Pharaoh's daughter. Then he brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord, and the wall all around Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the people sacrificed at the high places because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord and walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burnt incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar at Gibeon. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at by night and said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come, and your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" Solomon asked for wisdom because he had so many people and he needed to be able to discern good from so many things coming into our houses. All these things that we have to ask for understanding. God, grant me understanding to discern the good of things from the evil of things. You have commercials constantly hitting you and bombarding you with all kinds of stuff. God, we have to desire in our heart to discern the good from the bad. We got to understand that because somebody does not agree with you doesn't make them bad. Ask in your heart, I'm the one that's wrong. We've got to go through to the throne. Got to go to God in everything and ask for discernment, see the good and to see the evil in things. And it says the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. That God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemy, but have asked your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings of all your days. So if you walk in my ways, keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the Lord, offering up burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. Now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, "Oh, my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house. And I gave birth while she was in the house. Did it happen the third day after I had given birth, that this woman also gave birth? And we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son whom I had born. Then the other woman said, no, no. The living one is my son, and the dead one is your son. And the woman said, no, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son. Thus they spoke between the king. And the king said, the one says, this is my son, who lives, and your son is the dead one. And the other one says, no, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him. But the other woman said, let him be neither mine nor hers, but divide him. Answered and said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. Chapter 4 of 1 Kings. And it says, so the king, so King Solomon was king over all Israel. And these were his officials: Azira the son of Zadok, the priest, Eliphaz, and Elijah the son of Shisha, scribe, Jehoshaphat the son of Ahilud, the recorder, Benaniah the son of Joadiah over the army, Zadok and Abiathar the priest, Azira the son of Nathan over the officers, Zabur the son of Nathan, a priest and the king's friend, Asher over the household, and Adoniram the son of Abda over the labor force. And Solomon had 12 governors, all Israel, provided food for the king and his household. Each one made provisions for 1 month of the year. These are the names: Ben-Hur in the mountain of Ephraim, Ben-Dakar in Makkah, Shalbim, Beth-Emish, and Elon, Beth-Ehan, then Hesed, and Arba. To him belonged all the land of Hefer, Ben-Abinadab, and all the regions of Dor, he and Tapheth, the daughters of Solomon as wife, Benaiah the son of Ahilud, in Tachmet, Megiddo, and all Benshin, which is beside Zeratan, below Jezreel, from being Beth Shean to Abel Milah, as far as the other side of Jachin, Ben Geber and Ross Gilead. To him belonged the towns of Jar, the son of Manasseh in Gilead. To him also belonged the region of Argob in Bashan. Excuse me, everyone. 60 large cities with walls and bronze gate bars. Hanadah, the son of Edo, in Manaim, and Iadah, the Naphtali. He also took Basmat, the daughter of Solomon, as wife. Benaiah, the son of Hashai, and Asher and Alon, Jehoshaphat the son of Parua, Benjamin, Geber the son of Uri, in the land of Gilead, in the Chion, king of the Amorites, and Or, king of Bashan. He was the only governor who was in the land. Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand by the sea, in multitude, eating and drinking and rejoicing. So Solomon reigned over all kingdoms from the river to the land of the Philistines, as far as the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. Now Solomon's provisions for one day were 30 cores of fine flour, 60 cores of meal, 10 fatted oxen, 20 oxen from the pasture, and 100 sheep, besides deer, gazelles, roebucks, and fatted fowl. For he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, from Tiphish even to Gaza, namely over all the kings on the side of the river. And he had peace on every side all around him. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, each man under his vine and his fig tree, from Dan as far as Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. And these governors, each man in his month, provided food for King Solomon. For all who came to King Solomon's table, there was no lack in their supply. They also brought barley and straw to the proper place for the horses and steeds, each man according to his. And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart for the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezraite, and Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Meol. And his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Also, he spoke of trees from the cedar trees of Lebanon, even to the hyssop, the springs over the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish, and men of all nations from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Not only did God give him a discerning spirit and understanding, he gave wisdom to do the things he needed to do as a king of God. And we're going to go back to a few life lessons and what the Bible says about 1 Kings chapter 3. And it says this, in 1 Kings 3:3, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except sacrifice and burnt incense at the high place. At the beginning, Solomon loved the Lord and obeyed his commandments. But note that one word that led to his downfall, except. The Lord wants wholehearted commitment to him, not partial devotion. Okay, well, I go to church, and I really love God. And so while I'm in church, I got my hands in the air, waving them like I just don't care. You know, I'm glad to be in the house of God. But once we step outside those four walls, we forget all about God, because then it becomes your car, your house, your children, your this, your that. That God becomes secondary. And God is not a secondary God. He is a first always. He is the omnipotent one. And we have to trust in him. But he will wake you up when you in a sound sleep to go to work, because you work for him. And it says this, what the Bible says about asking God for specific things. Many Bible passages challenge believers to ask God for very specific things. Read the following familiar verses to remind yourself how important it is to ask God for the things you need. God expects you to ask. Need a home, you got to ask for it. You need clothes, you got to ask for them. You need transportation to and from work, you got to ask for it. Whatever you need, you got to go to God and ask for it. Hallelujah. God does not, you can't sit on it and say, well, I thank God to send me whatever I need. Did you ask for it? No. God don't do mealy mouth. Whatever you need from the Lord, you've got to boldly ask God. Lord, you know what I need, and this is what it is. And I need your help. Help me, Lord, to do what I need to do to get my house in order. We got to ask for what we need. And it says at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? 3 and 5. Jesus said, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Matthew 21:22. Yes, Lord, I believe that you can heal and watch and see God heal. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate you. Jesus said, until now, you have asked nothing. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. John 16:24. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith. There's that F word. Faith. We got to ask in faith. With no doubting, but he who doubts is like a wave driven and tossed by the wind. James 1:5-6. If we were to summarize these verses, we would find some very clear and concise principles related to our asking. God wants us to ask him to meet all of our needs. God delights in revealing to us his desire and his ways and doing things. We can ask God for all things, including those that relate to the natural world. We are wise to ask agreement with others. We must always ask in and in the name of Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Yeshua. His name is Savior. Hallelujah. Savior. God will respond to our need not in a way that opposes his commandments, but in a way that pleases him and brings him glory. We can be assured that whenever God for something, he hears and responds to us, giving us precisely what we need, which may not be what we think we need, but which always benefits us most. Excuse me again, family. Got this little tickle this morning. You do not have, come on now. This is one of my verses. You do not have because you do not ask. James 1:2. For what things in your life have you failed to ask God? That's a question Dr. Stanley gives us this morning. For what things in your life have you failed to ask God? You ask. Shall receive, but you've got to ask first. 1 Kings 3:9, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people. Solomon wanted the ability to wisely lead his people. This was a good and honorable request, but note that he left out any mention of God. Excuse me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10. Excuse me, family. I am turning it over to Mother Valerie. Mother Valerie, good morning again. I turn it over to you.
Good morning. Good morning.
To drink.
Good morning. Good morning, God's. Good morning, saints, and good morning, God's people. It's a beautiful day, and I'm reading 1 Kings 5:1. You know, God will grant you the desires of our heart, and he will. But like Pastor was saying, you do have to ask. I mean, and he'll grant you the desires of your heart. Now, Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon, because he heard that he had anointed him king in place of his father. For Hiram had always loved David. Then Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, "You know how my father David could not build a house for the name of the Lord his God, because of the wars which were fought against him on every side, until the Lord put his foes under the sole of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. And behold, I propose to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spoke to my father David, saying, Your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, he shall build a house for my name. Now, therefore, command that they cut down cedars for me from Lebanon, and my servants will be with your servants, and I will pay you wages for your servants, according to whatever you say. But you know there is none among us who is skilled to cut timber like the Sidonians." So it was when Hiram heard the words of Solomon that he rejoiced greatly and said, "Blessed be the Lord this day, for he has given David a wise son over this great people." Hiram sent to Solomon, saying, "I have considered the message which you sent me. I will do all your desire concerning the cedar and accept the cypress logs. My servant shall bring them down from Lebanon to the sea. I will float them in rafts by the sea to the place you indicate to me, and will have them broken apart there. Then you can take them away, and you shall fulfill my desire by giving food to my household." Then Hiram gave Solomon cedar and cypress logs according to all his desire. Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 cords of wheat as food for his household, 20 cords of pressed oil. Thus Solomon gave to Hiram year by year. So the Lord gave Solomon wisdom as he promised him. There was peace between Hiram and Solomon. Two of them made a treaty together. Then King Solomon raised up a labor force out of all Israel, and the labor force was 30,000 men. He sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month in shifts. They were 1 month in Lebanon, 2 months in home. Adonijah was in charge of the labor force. Solomon had 70,000 who carried burdens, 80,000 who quarried the stones in the mountains, besides 3,300 from the chiefs of Solomon's deputies who supervised the people who labored in the work. The king commanded them to quarry large stones, costly stones, huge stones, to lay the foundation of the temple. So Solomon's builders, Hiram builders, and the Gibeos quarried them, and they prepared timber and stones to build the temple. And it came to pass in the 480 year after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year Solomon reigned over Israel in the Mount of Zeal, which is the second month that he began to build the house of the Lord. Now the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, its length was 70 cubits, its width 20, and its height 30 cubits. The vestibule in front of the sanctuary of the house was 20 cubits, long across the width of the house. And the width of the vestibule extended 10 cubits from the front of the house. He made for the house windows and bell frames. Against the wall of the temple, he did chambers all around, against the wall of the temple, all around the sanctuary, the inner sanctuary. Thus he made side chambers all around it. The Lord's chamber was 5 cubits wide, the middle was 6 cubits wide, the third was 7 cubits wide, for he made narrow ledges around the outside of the temple so that the support beams would not be fastened into the walls of the temple. And the temple, when it was built with stones finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. The doorway for the middle story was on the right side of the temple. They went up by stairs to the middle story and from the middle to the third. So he built the temple, finished it. He paneled the temple with beams and boards of cedar, built side chambers against the entire temple, each 5 cubits high. They were attached to the temple with cedar beams. Then the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, "Concerning this temple which you're building, if you walk in my statutes execute my judgment, keep all my commandments, walk in them, then I will perform my word with you, which I spoke to your father David. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, will not forsake my people Israel. Solomon built the temple, finished it. He built the inside walls of the temple, the cedar boards, from the floor of the temple to the ceiling. He paneled the inside with wood and covered the floor of the temple with planks and cedars. Then he built the 20-cubit room at the rear of the temple, from floor to ceiling, with cedar boards. Built it inside as the inner sanctuary, as the most holy place. In front of it, the temple sanctuary was 40 cubits long. Inside of the temple was cedar carved with ornaments, buds, and open flowers. All was cedar. That was no stone to be seen. He prepared the inner sanctuary inside the temple to set the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord there. The inner sanctuary was 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, 20 cubits high, overlaid it with pure gold, and overlaid the altar of cedar. So Solomon overlaid the inside of the temple with pure gold, dressed the gold chain across the front of the inner sanctuary, overlaid it with gold. The whole temple he overlaid with gold until he had finished all the temple. Also, he overlaid with gold the entire altar that was by the inner sanctuary. Inside the inner sanctuary, he made two cherubims of olive wood, each 10 cubits high. One wing of the cherubim was 5 cubits, the other wing of the cherubim, 5 cubits. 10 cubits from the tip of one wing to the tip of the other. The other cubit was 10 cubits, both. Cherubim were of the same size and shape. The height of one cherubim was 10 cubits, and so it was the other cherubim. Then he set the cherubim inside the inner room, and they stretched out the wings of the cherubim so that the wings of one touched one wall, wing of the other cherubim touched the other wall. Their wings touched each other in the middle of the room. Also, he overlaid the cherubim with gold. Then he carved all the walls of the temple all around, both the inner and outer sanctuary, with carved figures of cherubim, palm trees, open flowers, and the floor of the temple he overlaid with gold, both the inner and outer sanctuary. For the entrance of the inner sanctuary, he made doors of olive wood. The lintel and the doorposts were one-fifth of the wall. The two doors were of olive wood. Carved on them figures of cherubim, palm trees, open flowers, overlaid them with gold, and he spread gold on the cherubim and on the palm trees. So for the door of the sanctuary, he also made doorposts of one olive wood, one-fourth of the wall, and the two doors were of cypress wood, two panels comprised one folding door, and two panels comprised the other folding door. Then he carved cherubim, palm trees, open flowers on them, and overlaid them with gold, applied evenly on the carved work. He built the inner court with three rows of hewn stone and a row of cedar beams. In the fourth year, the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid in the Mount of Zeir. And in the 11th year, in the month of Bull, which is the 8th month, the house was finished. In all its details, according to all its plans, so he was 7 years, my goodness, in building it. It took him 7 years to build the house of the Lord, and it had to be a fine church, a fine temple. And it was big, and it had so much gold. I mean, it had gold everywhere. Cherubims, flowers, gold. I said, my goodness, that's probably was really something to see. It was big. Life lessons in 1 Kings 6 and 12. If you walk in my statutes, then I will perform my word with you. Many of God's promises are conditional in nature. If we do this, then God will do that. He is under no obligation to fulfill a conditional promise if we neglect our part of the deal. If you do this, God do that. God grant you the desires of your heart. But you got to keep his commandments. You got to walk in his statutes. He said, then I will perform my word with you if you walk in my statutes. But, you know, God is exact in what he tells you to do. You do this, I'll do that. My goodness. Life lesson.
Amen.
God will do what God said he will do. He always performs his part, but, you know, a lot of times we don't perform our part. And then we still expect God to perform his part. Well, that's crazy. I mean, that's a crazy way to think that you want God to perform what he's, you know, said he would do. And God is not a God that he will lie. He cannot lie. But you got to walk in his statutes. If you walk in my statutes, then I will. He said, I will perform my word to you. And God is good in all that he say and all that he do. We have a good God. So I'm going to turn this back
over.
Amen.
Amen. I thank you, Mother. We have a good God. We have a good God. What's the song? I think it's the song we sing, God, great God. I think worthy.
Amen.
I can't remember all the words, but because it's too early in the morning. But all I remember is God, great God. Woo! Amen. Anyway, as we go into our psalm this morning, we're in the 68th psalm, verses 21 through 27. It said, but God will wound the head of his enemies. The hairy scalp of the one who still goes on in his trespass. It said, I will bring back from Bashan. I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that your foot may crush them in blood. Wow, that's some rough stuff. And the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from your enemies. And we know with Jezebel, that's exactly what happened. She fell out that window, and the only thing left was a head and a hand. Come on now. God don't play. Mm. They have seen your precision. Oh, God, the precision of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers went before the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the maidens playing trembles. Bless God in the congregation. The Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin, their leader, the prince of Judah, and their company, the prince of Zebulun and prince of Naphtali. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 13 through 15. Whoever rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. That's why we got to understand. Ask God for wisdom. God will give it to you because it says here, whoever rewards for good. How many times have we seen it? So many ways. Evil will not depart from his house. Ooh. Beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. Before a quarrel starts. We don't want to get in arguments with everybody. You know, God wants us to love our enemies. And keep our friends. We got to love our enemies. We got to love our friends. We got to love everybody. To love. And it goes on to tell us, therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. Don't get upset. Next thing you know, you argue with somebody who you love and who loves you. And then you got husband against wife, wife against husband. This person against that person, sister against brother, brother against cousin, mom and dad against children, all of that foolishness because somebody didn't just stop talking. Sometimes you just got to keep that old little tongue behind your teeth so you don't start a fire. And it says, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike, are an abomination to the Lord. And I got to read that again. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just. Both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. That's just one of those things that make you go, you need to think about it. John chapter 10, verses 22 through 42. Now, it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us lingering?" And I could see Jesus in his mouth saying, "Who do these people think they talking to? You tell us now. I don't have to tell you anything." And that was Jesus. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep." Bam! Letting you know, you don't belong to me. That's why you're not getting it. Come on now, Jesus. You got to make it plain. "As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. Able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." You want to know who I am? I and my Father are one. Believe it or not, it's up to you. And it says, "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. But which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you being a man make yourself God." You know, you want to say so many times, you know, but we can't call folks stupid. And it says, Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law?" Come on now. He said, let me give you a little teaching here. "I said you are gods," the little g. "If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Therefore, they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first. And there he stayed. Then many came to him and said, "John performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true." And many believed in him there. Hallelujah. They knew who he was. Oh, yeah, he told them who he was. But they still didn't want to believe him because they had no understanding of good and evil. They had no understanding of who the goodness and mercy of God had come to them. They didn't understand because they didn't ask for understanding. John 10 and 30, "I and my Father are one." How much plainer could he have made it? "If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. I and my Father are one." Jesus used the word "I and my Father." He proclaimed a clear distinction in the two divine persons, but in saying "are one," he proclaimed their unity of nature and equality. Jesus knew who he was. And it goes on to tell us, and his hearers understood his claim. There is one only one God, and we know him of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy, Blessed Trinity. John 10:38, believe the works that you may know and believe. Ooh, hallelujah. We got to understand. Ooh. Thank you, Father God, for this word this morning. And we have to go forth in the word of God on a regular. We can't just say, oh, I guess I'm going to read a little bit today. I don't feel like it. I think I'm just going to sleep. God will wake you up. Woke me up this morning, clothing my right mind. All I could do was say, thank you, Lord. And on this Memorial Day, I would be remiss if I did not remember those that have served. And I shout out in the heavens my father-in-law, Richmond B. Smith, who served in the United States Navy, to my late husband, Lieutenant Colonel Richmond J. Smith, Sr., who served in the Army National Guard as well as the Army Reserve, and to my son, Airman First Class Adam Smith, or A. Tucson Smith, Air Force. I thank you for my husband, my father-in-law, and my son, who served, all veterans, and I can only say thank you. And then as I continue, to my Uncle James, Marine, to my brother-in-law, Greg Lewis, Sr., Army, to my nephew, Greg Lewis, Jr., Navy, to my brother, Daryl, Navy, to my niece, Jay, Army, to my cousin, Sean Jay, Army. I thank all of you for your service. I thank those that have gone on before, God, for you and your love for this country. On this Memorial Day, let us never forget many men, women, and women died for the cause that we call America. And we must remember the words of Jesus, a house divided against itself must for America to stand. We've got to come back together. We've got to come back together. And I have a prayer this morning. Lessen my grip. Do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Hebrews 13:16 in New King James. And it says, Lord of all, you are the key to the storehouses of heaven. Every resource, every possibility needed is found in your kingdom. You've got it all. As I live my life, may I not be tight grip with what I have. You are so generous. I want to be generous too, and not just with money. May I loosen the grip of control over my time, leaving space to share it with others who would benefit. May I serve others. May I serve others when I have the chance. And if I don't have the chance, then I'm not looking hard enough. Whew. God gives us chances to help our brothers and sisters. Lord, you know my heart. A word again today. Lord, you know my heart that just wants to stay in my comfortable existence, not doing much that stretches my boundaries. But I know that whatever I do, whether it's in the realm of comfort or outside it, and I'm doing good and sharing with others, it is a reflective of your ways. May I continue to follow in your footsteps. And that is a question for today. How do you share the goodness of your life with others? And I can say I share it through this blog with Mother Valerie, who I love dearly, who asked me, can I read with you? And God said, absolutely, because God gives you what you need, understanding and discernment, see the good in things and the evil And I thank you, Mother Valerie, on this Memorial Day for your grace to come on and read for us and to make us smile when you emphasize certain words. I appreciate you, and I thank God for you, and I thank you for getting up, because I know mornings are not your time to get up and come on and do what you do for the Lord. So we thank you.
Amen.
And I say to you, America, and I say to you, all those that listen in now or later, keep loving God and watch Him work in your life. You've got to trust God, because He will never fail you in any way. In His name, we lift up, lift up. Pray for the Lord. Watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name I pray that this word touched your heart and that God will give you a blessing to the hearers and the readers. In Jesus' name. Mother Valerie, I'll leave the last words for the day to you, my sister, my friend, my mother, just an awesome woman of God. Pray us out this morning, and if God is giving you a word today, it's the time to give it. And again, don't forget the fallen. Don't forget the ancestors. Don't forget mom and dad. If you are in the town where your parents are buried, just go and put a flower. Do something to remember and let them know. I know you're not there, because you have already ascended, because you are here. You give it all to God. Mother Valerie.
Your word from Carolyn, have you given that?
I have not. Thank you so much. I knew it was something I was missing. From Sister Carolyn this morning, everything will not always seem like it's going right. Woo, come on now. But trust God. He has it all worked out. Have a marvelous Monday. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Mother. That's a word to end on today. Everything will not always seem like it's going right. But trust God. He has it all worked out. Have a marvelous Monday. Mother Valerie.
It's a wrap.
Wrap. Have a wonderful Memorial Day, family. And don't forget those that serve.
You know, we think about the people that are alive that serve, and we think about the people that are dead that served our country. So we bless the ones that are alive, and we bless the families of the ones that are dead. And we thank and praise God that we have people that are willing, you know, to go and serve, because at one time they made you a list. They made people a list in the service of this country. And I think right now they don't make you a list. You know, you can do it if you want to. So we thank God.
You have to register, but you don't have to enlist. That's correct. You have to register for selected services at 18, but you don't have to enlist.
Right, that's true. But then, like I was saying, at one time, they forced you. You had to go and serve the country.
The draft.
So we thank God for the ones that are alive, and we thank God for the ones that are dead. So we thank God that we live in this great country. I'm grateful that I'm here. And I know some people, other people are grateful too, because when the soldiers came back from fighting, they kissed the ground. They were so happy to be back in America. And so, you know, this is Memorial Day. So everybody have a blessed day. A lot of people celebrate by cooking barbecue and putting up flags and just doing all kinds of different things. They have parades and they do all kinds of different things. So we thank God that we're in America, and God bless America. Continue to humble the people. And God said if we would humble ourselves, He would bless this land and heal the land. So God, and like the revival yesterday, Billy Sunday, It was really, really good. It showed how God can work in anybody's life. Billy Sunday was in baseball, and they sung some of the most beautiful songs. Pastor was there, and Tracy, Stacy. Oh, I saw so many people, and they sung just wonderfully. It was just a good revival. The day of Pentecost, the 50th day, remember that God gave power on that day. Go up in the upper room, 120 people, and when the Holy Ghost came, he said, what was the Holy Ghost for? It was to give power, to endure this power, to endure God's people with power. And then they went out, laid hand on the sick, raised the dead, did all the things that Jesus did. So they're going to have 6 weeks of this again. And Pastor Jesse was there. There was so many people there. It was beautiful. Very, very beautiful. Billy Sunday.
Amen.
Yes. Remembering. Just remembering how back in the year 1906, they had so many race riots. And they had Billy Sunday for that one day, and they wanted to bring the people together to heal the land, to let the people know, black and white, we don't have to do this. We don't have to fight against each other. God made people. He made one person from Adam and Eve. We're people, and we don't have to do this. So I know that it's a wrap and it's time to go, but
amen.
It was really, really
but
beautiful.
You got to give what God gives you, and that's what we do. We go over when God has the word, and God had a word. And we thank you for that word. Mother Valerie, it's a wrap.
It is a wrap, you know. It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
Bye, family. Have a great day. Enjoy your day.